All right. So I think that's my last interjection, I mean, until the end of this excerpt. This one world scale economy has a single or axial division and integration of labor processes, the division of labor, which is both organized and paralleled by a single set of accumulation processes between its always more advanced, historically enlarging, and geographically shifting core, and its always less advanced, disproportionately enlarging, and geographically shifting periphery. Okay, I have to interject. So try to picture this, because these are, it is, as he said, abbreviated, it's condensed. But it's not jargon. It is, he speaks plainly, but it's dense. You know, like Shakespeare, you got to unpack it. You got to let it evolve, or what's the right word? You got to let it sort of bloom in your mind, the fullness of what he's saying. You know, you have to sort of see that there's this, it's because he's trying to capture life. It's like improvisation, jazz, whatever, that it's really hard to capture life in words. So you have to sort of see that there's this pressure, and it's essentially us, we the people, that are pressuring that the winner box or whatever to enlarge. You know, there's that pressure. More and more people want to claim more and more of their wholeness. At the same time, what's working against that is this accumulation process whereby the earth is exponentially made private. And so that there's this constant pressure to push people out. This is called the increasing disparities. So that's what he means when he says that there's this historically enlarging, geographically shifting core. And by geographically shifting, you're picturing China once in, Russia once in, Japan wanted in, got in. And so then that means who's going to be out? You got to keep enlarging that number of people out. And this is the contradiction that he's describing here, because nobody wants to be out. This is, as he says, the process of, how does he put it? Modern social change or something like. So the inherent contradiction between the development of the one economy and the development of the multiple states continually paces and shows itself in specific forms in the course of the social system's long-term development, which equals modern social change. It is the articulation of the processes of the world-scale division and integration of labor and the processes of state formation and deformation that constitute the system's formation and provide an account at the most general level for the patterns and features of its development, hence of the patterns and features of modern social change. The articulation of these two sets of processes necessarily results in the theory in the network of relations among political formations being patterned like the network of relations among production accumulation zones, core, periphery, and vice versa. So the political power of states matches the economic power, I guess you would say. Continuing with Terence Hopkins, there are two important contradictions. First, the growing competition among states owing to their increasing number and their increasingly competitive policies to house centers of the production accumulation network versus the strengthening tendency of that network toward centralization of the accumulation process. That is to say, fewer centers. You feel that tension that he's trying to capture in words. Secondly, the increasing influence of class-organized politics which results from capitalist development, on state policies versus the increasingly competitive search by larger and larger units of capital for larger and larger pools of low-cost labor, unquote. That's from a chapter in that book called, by Terrence Hopkins, called The Study of the Capitalist World Economy, Some Introductory Considerations. So what he's calling capital, I don't call capital. I call power, because I believe that the accumulation process for power is essentially, and this is one of the many reasons Karl Popper is so important to add to the mix. He argued that Marxist theorists underestimated power, and that's because he looked real long. He could read ancient Greek. He knew that this lust for power is nothing new. And so he studied power, and just as Shakespeare did. And so those folks who studied explicitly power, they are not ancient history by any means, until class is settled, because class is just the way they sculpt the world they want. Until we reclaim our lives as a global humanity, we're going to be struggling with this problem called power. That's one of the many reasons I love that poem we read last week. Thank God our time is now, when wrong comes up to face us everywhere, never to leave us till we take the longest stride of soul men ever took. Affairs are now soul size. Christopher Fry knew the truth of it. When he says, when wrong comes up, wrong is just another word for power. Power is everywhere. That's another way of saying we have a single world system. So this is what I mean when I say that there is one reality, can be described in many ways, but if it is describing that reality accurately, then it is the truth. And you can use different words. You can use the language of Alice Miller. You can use the language of Shakespeare and Christopher Fry. You can use the language of Terrence Hopkins or any of his tribesmen, like Eric Fromm or Marcuse. They're describing the same underlying reality. Honestly, not trying to con. That's the key difference. They want generalized human freedom. And they may have been misled about what the possibilities are, how we get there, or what it looks like, but they want it. They have a hunger for it.